Hi, everybody. Steve Savitsky. Welcome back to Savitsky Talks. And today we have Mr. Ben Brofman, a very well-known criminal defense lawyer, also active in the modern Orthodox community, who speaks all over, really, really a fantastic person who I have the privilege of knowing. Ben, thank you so much for coming on my program. I appreciate it very much.
My pleasure, Steve. Thank you.
And I know that just recently you spoke in the Young Israel of Woodmere to a packed crowd, and people were talking about it for days and days, and what you said was so important. And that's why I thought it was really, really important to have you on the program, because there's so many important things that are going on in the Jewish world. So let's just start off with something that you talk about a lot, which is really making a Kiddush Hashem in the workplace. And what would you suggest? You're out there, you see people, you meet many Orthodox Jewish people in different settings. What are the steps that you think people should think about as an Orthodox Jew when they go out in the world and to make a Kiddush Hashem?
I think it's not hard, and I think, quite frankly, most Orthodox Jews do make a Kiddush Hashem. I think the Jewish community is a good community. I think they're fundamentally honest, and I think they are fundamentally ethical people who help their community, give a lot of charity, take care of their families. So it's a good start. What I think people sometimes forget is how easy it is to make a Chilul Hashem. And I'm not talking about the occasional, you know, criminal case that surfaces, because that is rare, even though the media focuses on it. You know, I'm talking about, you know, the young boys and girls who are obviously from, because, you know, they're either wearing a kippah or they have their tzitzis out, or the girls are wearing, long skirts, right, and people recognize them as Orthodox kids. I think they have an obligation in the public eye to behave in a very appropriate manner, even though they're young, and all of us as young people, you know, have a right to, you know, let our hair down once in a while. When a Orthodox Jewish kid screws up in the public venue, it becomes a Chilul Hashem. When a kid who's not wearing a kippah screws up, people say, well, it's just the kid. So it's not hard. I think people need to focus on being, kind, respectful, and recognizing that how you behave inside the privacy of your own home may not necessarily be okay when you are on an airplane or when you are in a public restaurant or in a sports arena. You have a higher standard to maintain, because people are recognizing you not just as a young person, but as a young Jewish person.
So how do we indoctrinate that into the community? Let's not just talk about young people. Let's talk about everybody. I mean, should rabbis be speaking about this a lot more? Should there be seminars on this? I mean, we have seminars and lectures on everything. I mean, so what should we do about it? Since obviously, you know, there are some people who just don't realize, you know, that they can easily create a Chilul Hashem, you know, very easily. So
I think,
you know,
I think all of the above are helpful. I think parents need to be educated, and the parents can be educated, obviously, either through their shul or through organizations like the OU or through seminars. And I think kids in our yeshivas are not focused on this as much as they should be by the hanhala or by the principals. And I think there have to be classes and special programs dealing with not just law and not just halacha, but also a code of ethics, code of behavior. And I think that you have to focus kids. We focus kids when we need to on the dangers of texting while driving, on the dangers of drinking and drug abuse, because those are front and center and of concern to safety. So we know how to do it when we want to, but I don't think we focus as much on behavior issues. And I want people to understand, to listen to this program, that I'm not condemning the Orthodox community, because in general, I think most people do behave and behave properly. But I think when an incident happens involving one young Orthodox kid, it unfortunately reflects on all of us, because that's the way the secular, non-Jewish world sees that. They do not see it as an isolated incident. It's a commentary on the Orthodox community. So we have a heavier responsibility. You want to wear a kippah in public and then pronounce to the world that you are a religious, devout, Orthodox Jew, then you need to understand that when you don't behave that way, it suggests to the world that you're a hypocrite and that all of this religious stuff that you profess to be concerned about doesn't really resonate well.
Right. No, I think it's a great point, and hopefully, you know, maybe you'll inspire some organizations and maybe us at the OU. I have to think about this. It's a good thing that we have to work on this. I think it's a critical issue. And I mean, you talk about being proud of who you are, and obviously, I know you're extremely proud Jew, a proud Orthodox Jew. I see some Orthodox Jews who probably, it looks like they go through a lot of the motions, but I don't know if they really feel it inside. I mean, I know you're proud, so why are you proud to be an Orthodox Jew, and why do you think people who are listening who are Orthodox Jews should also feel proud?
Because, you know, I travel in the Jewish world and in the non-Jewish world, so maybe I have a different perspective. But when you look at the Orthodox Jewish world, what I see is more tzedakah, more chesed, more kindness, more organized group of kindness than I see in any other area of the world, in any other population. When you stand outside a major city hospital any morning and you see the buses pull up and the people from Bikur Cholim come out with hundreds and hundreds of packages of food, you don't see other religious groups doing that. When you see Hatzalah saving thousands of people, you don't see that in other communities. And when after, you know, Hurricane Sandy, when, you know, Achiezer was formed and hundreds of people from within the community were privately helped, I mean, that's, you know, the Orthodox people at their best. And I think the way we take care of our children and our family and our parents and our grandparents is traditionally extraordinary, and I also think that we know more people. You see, that's one thing that people don't get in the Orthodox community. You go to a levaya funeral for even just a plain person who is not a leader of the community, and you'll see 300, 400, maybe 1,000 people there because everybody knows that person from his or her shul, from the camp that the kids go to in the summer, from the yeshivas that their kids or their grandchildren attend. I go to funerals for prominent people from the non-Jewish world, and there are a dozen people show up. It's, you know, their immediate family members and a couple of people from their office. So because we know so many more people, we have the ability to help more people when we want to. We have the ability to have more people help us, and it's a very good community on balance. You have a lot to be proud of. Unfortunately, one thing we do not do well, and Israel does not do well, is we don't do our own public relations well, and Israel suffers from it, and the world is essentially still, in my opinion, primarily anti-Semitic when it comes to the Jewish community, and I think because of that, we need to be stronger and more proud and not embarrassed by our religious affiliation. I mean, whether you wear a yarmulke to work or not, when you decide to leave early on Friday so you can get home in time for Shabbos, that's a statement to the people you work with that I'm a religious person. But that also brings with it the responsibility that you need to be the best employee in your department. You need to be the most scrupulously honest, polite, courteous. You can't be a jerk and then decide to leave early on Shabbos and be absent on Yontif.
Right, that's what I think people don't understand sometimes. I see it myself, and you know, people when people know that they're an Orthodox Jew, they have to behave a certain way, and it's not just eating certain kind of food and kosher food and leaving early. It, you know, it comes with the territory. And you know, the thing that's interesting, and I'm sure you agree, when you do that, you feel even great. You feel even better.
You know, a story I shared with people in Woodmere when I spoke is a very simple story, but it really has it's profound in many ways to show you how a simple act can create either an extraordinary Kiddush Hashem or not. You know, I went to I have a son who's a Talmud Chacham, who is a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael, and when he comes into the United States on occasion, every once in a while, you know, he'll still go with me to a baseball game, you know, and which was the way we grew up, and my father took me and I took him, so he still every once in a while I have the pleasure of going to a ball game with him. So we were at a ball game together a couple of years ago, and you know, I've been going to a game for 40, 50 years. I never caught a foul ball. So he's sitting next to me, and a foul ball comes into the area, and, you know, there's the normal scramble, and my son David, who's wearing a black kippah and a white shirt and black pants with his tzitzis out, and he has a small beard, and he's clearly a young Orthodox rabbinic student or rabbi, he gets the foul ball. And, you know, there is a young child in the aisle who tried to get the ball, who couldn't get it. He's not a Jewish kid, obviously, from his appearance, and he's got his glove on and his hat on, and he's got this horrible look of sadness on his face because he didn't get the ball. And David walked up to him and gave him the ball, and about 10,000 people got up and gave him a standing ovation.
Fantastic.
And I said to David, you probably just created maybe the biggest Kiddush Hashem you could possibly have created at a bowl game by just being a nice person. And
right.
And everyone who saw that, they don't know David. What they're going to say the next day is that the Jew boy caught a ball and gave it to a kid. And
right.
But if you had kept the ball and this kid walks away sad, they would have said the Jew kid caught the ball and wouldn't give it to a 5-year-old. So, you know, it's a simple thing. It's a terrific story,
it's
though.
It's a great story.
Because when you think about it, there are 9 times a day when something happens where a yeshiva kid could hold a door open for someone,
absolutely.
Get up
Beautiful.
And give a seat to someone on the bus, you know, help somebody who is old, struggling with packages. And the impression you will make on that person is not that a kind stranger helped me. The impression you will make is that a Jewish kid helped me. And you have no idea how that resonates and how much we need that.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's why I always tell people when you go on a plane, I always make it my business to help people put the overhead. Because, you know, today people carry it, so it weighs 500 pounds, that stuff.
Right.
And some of these people can't do it. If you could help somebody out, I always say, they always look at you and say, oh, thank you very much. And then they look and say, Jew.
Right.
So I agree with you. So we've done great. The Orthodox Jewish community growing. It's incredible what's going on. So what do you see as some of the challenges that could derail this explosive growth of the Orthodox community?
Well, I think both here and in Israel, we have a severe problem in trying our best to maintain a balance where you want to have a person devote themselves at least for a portion of their lives to the study of Torah. You have certain obligations to the world as well, and that's obviously a strong debate in Eretz Yisrael now, where, you know, the issue of whether or not there's going to be compulsory military service or some type of community service. But in the United States, I think the biggest challenge facing the Orthodox community in the future is in the generations that come, the inability for people to afford the yeshiva tuition. And I don't know how that's going to be resolved, because the problem is extraordinary, and I know the OU and many of the foundations and organizations have wrestled with this problem. But you have Orthodox families who, you know, Baruch Hashem, have large families, and the tuition bills that some families get every year are staggering, and they are after tax dollars. You cannot deduct as a charitable donation tuition payment, even if it's going to a not-for-profit, and people need to understand that, and you can get in serious trouble if you try. So after tax dollars, if a family has 5 or 6 kids and you want to send them to a modern Orthodox school so they get a first-rate yeshiva education, you either have to have help from parents or in-laws, or you have to have very, very good jobs. And I think in the future, you know, after the some of this generation is no longer alive, I don't know what's going to happen, because there are tens of thousands of kids being born now into families that are relying on, in some way, you know, parental assistance. And some of them don't have that. And I know a number of families who have taken their kids out of yeshiva because they can't afford the tuition. And these kids are going to grow up without a yeshiva education. And as hard as you can as a parent in your home to teach kids about you know, Torah and life as a Jew, if you're doing it outside of a yeshiva or a yeshiva college, they're going to turn out different. And I'm not certain there's anything you can do about that. So I think the yeshivas need to know what this problem is. I think we in the community need to know what the problem is. But I'll tell you, Steve, I've talked to a number of people about it. It is such a massive undertaking that I'm not certain that a private person, regardless of his or her wealth, are going to be able to solve the problem. I think it's going to require you know, a lot of very smart people getting together and planning this, not having it just suddenly jump out at us 10, right. 15, 20 years down the road.
No, there's no question. And as you know, as you mentioned at the Orthodox Union, you know, yeshiva tuition and affordability of Jewish life is a big issue for us. And we've done a lot of things on a different level, state level, government level, mm-hmm. and we're working on it. And it's an issue. So you think it's an economic crisis or, you know, an economic issue that could possibly derail the explosive growth of the Orthodox Jewish community? Anything else you see on the horizon, or
major? I do. I think that in the Haredi community in particular, both in the United States and in Eretz Yisrael, I think people need to understand that as much as you would like to be able to insulate your family from the secular world, it's almost impossible to do it 100%. And accordingly, the Haredi yeshivas are going to have to, in my opinion, confront the fact that at some point these kids are going to go out into the real world and they're going to need to have basic skills. And I'm not just talking about reading and writing. I'm talking about having the obligation, regardless of how frum the institution is, of teaching these Talmidim, boys and girls, basic skills, how you apply for a mortgage, how you get insurance, how you rent an apartment, how you apply for government assistance, assuming you legally qualify, basic skills in how to apply for a job, and have some basic skills so that you can, if you are inclined to do so, find work in the secular world, but also how you interact with the secular world. You know, today, you try and insulate a kid from all of the bad things that are out there, it's almost impossible to build that wall high enough. So I think you need to confront some of these issues so that the kids don't experiment on their own and don't fall into these, you know, crevices that are out there because they're completely unschooled and they're completely naive when they come into the world. You can't have a kid sitting yeshiva for 25 years, for the first 25 years of their life. Suddenly they're married and they have five children, and you say, okay, go out and buy a house. I see what happens when these kids use what I characterize as, you know, self-help, where in order to do something that they can't afford, they try and use the, you know, their brilliance to get around the laws or the rules.
Right,
not
right.
Because they're dishonest, but because they think this is a clever shtick. And I think the Haredi community in Lakewood, in Eretz Yisrael, is not completely addressing these issues the way I think they need to.
Oh, that's a great point. One final question. I mean, I know you deal with this all the time. So do you think in general Orthodox Jews are more ethical, honest, and moral than non-Orthodox Jews?
I think they are. I think you have to recognize that when I say that, I talk about people who are Orthodox, not just in manner of dress, but are really trying to lead a Torah life. You know, I had a judge once tell a frum person who was about to be sentenced, you know, you can't just pick and choose the halachas that you abide by. So to the extent that you daven three times a day and you learn Torah with your children, that doesn't by itself, in my opinion, make you an Orthodox Jew if on the other part of your day, you know, you're scheming or you're trying to do something that's fundamentally dishonest. I think that's a very small majority. I think on balance, a small minority, I think on balance, the Orthodox community is more ethical, is more honest. I think they are more medakdek and detail oriented in their lives. I'm, you know, very proud to be, you know, a member of the Orthodox community, and I think the modern Orthodox community, I don't know how you define that, the Orthodox community in general is a very, very impressive.
Yeah, I like to call it the Torah community.
Well, I think the Torah community is a very impressive community, and I think they conduct themselves on balance in a much more ethical, civilized way than the non-Orthodox community, because I think they have a balance in their life. They have Shabbos. They have an understanding of family much better than the people who I meet who are Jews but have no affiliation. But I also think that if you are going to be Orthodox, you have to understand that in some manner you are going to have to interact with the secular community. and interacting with the secular community does not permit you to do so with a shtetl mentality. Those days are over. We do not live in an insulated arena. And even if you live in an insular neighborhood, when you need the police or the fire department, they come to your house. Those are not from people who come to save you when you need them. They are, most part, non-Jews. And I think the way we interact with the civil service people who work in our communities, I think the way we act with government officials, I think the way we act on an airplane, in a ballpark, in a restaurant, all reflects on who we are. So, you know, I've learned a long time ago that, one, it doesn't cost you anything to be nice. And second, to me personally, and I hope I don't offend anybody who's listening, to me, having, you know, good midas and derech eretz is much more impressive than being a Talmud Chacham who doesn't conduct himself appropriately despite his vast Torah knowledge.
Right. No, I think what you're saying is exactly correct. Listen, thank you so much for coming on the program, and I'm sure the listeners are really going to take heart to what you said, because I think it's critical and vital for the Torah community, the Jewish community, the Orthodox community. Thank you so much. I appreciate it very, very much. Have a wonderful day.
My pleasure. You too.
Be well.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.